Let us pray. Most gracious and loving Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the word. We thank you that you instruct us to seek you first. And now, gracious and loving Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our collective hearts will be acceptable unto your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Greetings to you from all of our congregation at Reformation Lutheran Church. We have been overwhelmed with the hospitality, the graciousness, and the love, and also the support of your pastor and council in so many conversations. I'm grateful for Janine and her leadership here, as well as Alexandria's musical leadership. We are thankful. And with that, as I was pondering all of that things that I was thankful with as I was coming here today, I started thinking about the one thing that is universal for all of us, something that we are all searching for, and that is abundance, particularly an abundant life. It is a life that is rich in deep, meaningful, purposeful things. A life which we are not merely trying to survive, a life beyond survival. There's a theologian named David Luce who says it this way: we are all searching for a life that is not just survival, but is flourishing, not just getting by, but thriving, not just existence, but joy. Indeed, for some of us, unfortunately, in this world, surviving is a task that is number one. But even the reason we seek to survive is eventually for a much more flourishing life. I mean, Jesus makes the distinction: there is life, and then there is life abundant. Just like, think about breathing, and then there is living. That's the distinction that Jesus is trying to give to us. And no matter where you come from, your background, your color, creed, country of origin, or even religion, it seems that there is something very universal that is fundamental to the anatomy of all of our souls. And that is that we long for an abundant life. So we search for it, almost in desperation, sometimes without even knowing that. Abundant life is identity. It is being known, being someone's. It is belonging, it is love, it is purpose, it is contentment and hope and joy. And since we all long for some kind of abundant life, these are the questions all of us ask. Who am I? Whose am I? What am I supposed to be? What is the meaning of life? What is my purpose? What is our purpose? How can I make my life more complete in the varied stages of my life? How can we find joy? And where are those answers? Well, there are some very smart people who that is their very job, to find out what will make you happy. And it is all in answering these questions, and it is always some kind of advertisement, some kind of ad that is going to pop up to tell you just what you need to be happy. Now, it can happen on the television, it can happen on social media, if that's your thing, but it always happens. And on this Good Shepherd Sunday, reading this portion of the Good Shepherd Discourse, which is actually an extension of John 9, which is all about healing. That's important to know. Because Christ is trying to point us to our healing. That is, in the light of the failure of our spiritual blindness, of religious authorities who condemn the healing of this man that was sightless from birth, Jesus offers himself as a counterexample, picking up a theme that runs throughout the Old Testament. And it is this: there will always be leaders who will shirk their responsibility and fail to care for God's people. Now, so we land in John 10 in these 7 verses. Now, while there are many dimensions that I could preach on, there's one that grabbed my attention this week, and it is this. It is a particular time when good shepherds in our shared communal and societal life seem painfully scarce. And Jesus promises are so desperately needed in this world, aren't they? And simultaneously may be received with some skepticism by people worn out by 3 things: the pandemic, injustice, and quite honestly, anxiety. In this section of our text for today, we see a contrast of a good shepherd and a hired hand. They're very different. Hired hands are false prophets. It turns out they're not coming to destroy us, but rather they're not committed enough to have a risk in their lives for the flock in which they are looking after. They are kind of pretenders of sorts, and they have a legitimate and important job to do, maybe, but they do it usually for themselves, not for those that they are supposed to be entrusted to. I think there's a lot of hired hands today. A lot. And if you are like me, we see that not only in people, but also institutions with legitimate and very important roles who seem to have little regard for the people that they are called to be of service to. Let me give you an example. I'm an Apple lover. And I got roped into being an Apple lover for many and varied reasons. And I will say that I love my Apple products. Every time there's a little opening for some kind of Apple product, I'm probably going to try to figure out how to buy one. That's just who I am, all right? And so, but they are genius in their marketing strategy. Now, years ago, there was a commercial with Robin Williams speaking a poem by Walt Whitman. Now, if you're not familiar with the poem or the background, you just know that Apple always does this little seamless beauty kind of thing that kind of ropes you in. And quite honestly, I think Walt Whitman turned over in his grave that this poem is being used for a $1,500 piece of plastic, all right? But let me read you this poem. It says this: "O me, O life, of the questions of these recurring, of the endless trains of the faithless, of cities filled with the foolish, of myself forever reproaching myself, for who more foolish than I, and who more faithless? Of eyes that vainly crave the light of the objects mean of the struggle ever renewed, of the poor results of all people, of the plotting and sordid crowds I see around me, of the empty and useless years of the rest and the rest me intertwined. The question, O me, O sad recurring, what good amend these, O me, O life. What is happening with these words and in this commercial that we need to watch out for is that they are claiming to have an answer and a key to abundant life by opening up an iPad Air. That's what it's inviting us to. And many commercials have done that. I'm not saying that it doesn't have its place, because there is some need for our communities to do certain things. However, we get very caught up into the hired hands, like marketing. Now, that's the first one that we should really watch out for. I mean, I need a support group from Amazon, because I don't know about you, but during the pandemic, I was getting a box pretty much every day, much to my husband's chagrin. Marketing plays a role in the functioning economy, yes. But as Jonah Sachs says in a book called Winning the Story Wars, he says that in the previous century, marketing has been less about sharing information and more about creating a sense of inadequacy, that you must have this thing, that you must do a little retail therapy to keep it going and to show your worth. Now, the second hired hand is a little bit more tricky for me, because quite honestly, I enjoy it. And that's social media. Now, that may not be your thing. However, social media is one of those hired hands that creates a kind of algorithm of our lives. We see the response of what happens on social media, and it then vibrates out the likes. Or the lack of likes seem to fuel so many people's identity, a feeling like they are enough. Now, I will tell you, I don't know what I would have done over this last year without social media and being able to broadcast our sermons. There is a place. However, external affirmation, external, something outside and beyond ourselves, begins to capitalize on this culture of doing the outrageous in order to get attention. Now, here's the third. And let me be clear, as a guest in your pulpit, that we live in a time of polarized, hyper-partisan politics of division. That's the third hired hand. I don't care what side of it is that it is on, and I can't emphasize enough that whether it is democratic, Republican government, derived from the word in the Greek of polis, which means people, for the people, it has its value. But in recent years, there seems to be an increasingly emphasis on inviting us to define ourselves in a terms of what and who we're against versus what and who we are for. I'll let that sink in for a moment. That has become our defining versus who we are at the foot of the cross. We foster these negative identities that are all wrapped into this identity of opposition that too easily and quickly breeds hate. Now, what all three of these hired hands do, and that they have in common, is the emphasis on the self above all others, and false narratives of scarcity, insecurity, and the fear that they perpetuate. The messaging is consistent in all three, and there are more hired hands. And it is saying that we are not enough. That we are not enough. For Reformation, as we prepare to sell our building and moving out and beyond that, we have wrestled with the fact of, are we enough? I've heard that lament from many people. Maybe we haven't been doing this right. No, that's a false narrative. And I am sure here at Our Saviors, you have your own false narratives that are outside of the truth that Christ is our good shepherd. That we are enough. And beneath all these varying messages is one consistent one. Justify yourself. Justify your worth, your personhood. And when I look at the spiking rates of anxiety and depression and hopelessness, particularly with young people, oh, there's something we need to change. Something we need to turn around from. We are plagued with hired hands eager to tell us that we have to do and our worth is defined by something outside of ourselves. And just like that Apple commercial that I told you about, do not fall for it. It hits all the right notes for sure, right? But that's not the song. Not at the very least. There is so much more that defines us, that there is some deep answers that we can find here in this text. And when it really matters, what Jesus warns us is that the hired hands will run away. That it will not fill you up. There is a temptation for us to try to find abundant life in so many things. But the only place in which we find it is at the foot of the cross. In this Christ that is our good shepherd that leads us. And I know that the word sheep has turned into a negative politicized kind of thing, and so we kind of don't know what to do with that language of sheep. But God is redeeming that word for us. We are called to seek abundant and fulfilling life. That is the call. But we seek it in vanity in so many other places. Whether it is through money or power, through food, physique, style. We seek abundant life, maybe even through our sports teams. I mean, I'm sure there's a few Bills fans here. I mean, last year, and they hit it pretty close for abundant life, I have to tell you. Their motto was, find a way. That was their motto in 2020, find a way. And they almost did. I was really impressed by that. But what is our way? What is the way, the truth, and the life? Instead of the spoonfuls that we are being fed of nonsense. You see, we have a better gospel. Our Lord and Savior has provided us with everything in which we need. And only in Christ do we find our most profound identity. That we are His. That we are God's. That we are the children of God. Let us not forget that no matter what transitions come, no matter what people may say, and only in Christ can we find our truest and most profound identity. Let us hold on to that. whether it is reformation, finding ways to reform, or for you here at our Savior's, realizing that Christ is our Savior and nothing else. It reminds me of a story of a little girl who was reciting Psalm 23. And she says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want." I'll tell you, people of our Savior's Reformation, those of you in the parking lot honking your horns, that's all we should want. Thanks be to God. Amen.